With so much attention focused on the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts and on the 1st District congressional race, some state primaries have received scant attention. A state senator from Springfield is facing a primary challenge. Three people are running in each of two House districts in western Massachusetts where the incumbents did not seek re-election. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill discusses the so-called down-ballot contest with Matt Safransky, Editor-in-Chief of Western Mass Politics and Insight.
Democratic State Senator James Welch is facing a primary challenge from Springfield City Councilor Adam Gomez. What's Gomez's argument for replacing Welch?
Well, I think part of it is just the idea that there is not enough representation, both of Springfield as a place, but also the population that lives here. Adam Gomez is definitely running to Jim Welch's left and arguing that he can better represent the city, both as a resident of the city, as a member of its Latino community, and for more progressive policies than what some people believe Jim Welch has provided. I'm sure that Senator Welch would disagree that he has not represented sufficiently overall and certainly not been progressive enough in recent years. His voting record has definitely gotten leftier. But the real problem that Adam Gomez has is just, the difficulties of campaigning in the COVID era. He's a very hard worker. He campaigns really hard, but there are a lot of opportunities that are just missing, especially for a down ballot seat that really nobody's paying attention to. You really need to be able to be out there, and you can't be out there.
Two Democratic primaries taking place today for seats where the incumbent has decided to retire. Let's talk about the 5th Hamden, which is primarily the city of Holyoke. Represented by Aaron Vega currently. He's decided to move in a different direction, get out of elected office for a while. Three candidates running there. Talk about that race.
So that race is very interesting. You've got Patrick Beaudry, who's a public affairs manager for the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, but he has a long history working on Beacon Hill. He was the communications director for the state Democratic Party at one time. And he's leveraging all of those things in addition to his, history in the city of Holyoke. I mean, he attended, public schools there. Then you have Patricia Duffy, who is Aaron Vega's aide, whom Vega has endorsed. She has been working for him for close to 7 years. She's been on a number of boards in Holyoke. She's not a native originally, but, she has a lot of, she's developed a lot of ties to the city, particularly its, rising population, if you will. She's got the endorsements of a number of Latino counselors. And then there's City Councilor David Bartley, who is the son of a former state rep from this seat, former Speaker of the House. He's definitely running as the conservative in that race. Both Pats are running as more progressive candidates. It's really coming down to more like resumes and biography in the race overall. Who can best execute on behalf of Holyoke, especially in coronavirus and in a time of transition, because we don't know what's going to happen in next year's municipal elections.
And in the 9th Hamden district, where State Representative Jose Tosado is not on the ballot, there are three Democrats here vying to replace him. What are some of the big issues in that race?
Well, I mean, I think...
And who's running? I guess we should get to that first.
So we have Ward 8 City Councilor Orlando Ramos, at-large school committee member Denise Hurst, and Ward 2 Democratic Chair and community activist Sean Mullen. So in terms of like the issues, I mean, it's such a strange district. I mean, on the one hand, it's very representative of the city overall, but it's also one that is historically been a seat that, the Hungry Hill Irish used to have, but now it has part of 16 acres. It's like I said, it's weird. So, I mean, I think the issues that have, come up have been, concerns about development, concerns about, policing. I don't want to say it's been a municipal issue kind of centered campaign, but when you have two candidates who hold municipal office, they're talking a lot about the things that they've done. Denise Hurst is talking about education a lot. Sean Mullen is talking about, community development a lot, zoning, those kinds of things, equity. Orlando Ramos has kind of pushed some of the things he's done on the council, like with police reform and he also has been talking a lot about utilities as well. So, I mean, it's a very grab bag kind of campaign the issues that have been around it. I honestly don't know what to expect out of it because it's such a weird collision of interests.
It's been a weird year, obviously. It's very difficult to put your finger on anything because nobody can campaign traditionally.
Right.
Large events can't be held. Even debates haven't taken place this year. There have been some online forums, but not really candidate debates. There hasn't been an opportunity for people to really go back and forth at each other. So it's been odd.
Yes, it has. And I think it's been a particular loss for the down ballot races. I mean, we did have debates, obviously, for U.S. Senate, for the House race. But you've had these kind of funky virtual events. I'm not entirely convinced that they couldn't have had some kind of, you know, in-person debate with just a moderator or cameraman and the candidates. And I think that we did lose something by having that. It was kind of just like a, well, here's a question for you, and here's a question for you. And, you know, it was almost like a joint press conference.
Yeah, they basically read their position papers.
Exactly. And you know, it did take something away, I think, from the ability. I mean, to the extent that people are tuned into these races, you know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, don't want to insult anybody, but it is what it is. You know, these races do not get much attention under the best of circumstances. But not even being able to have, you know, something to Google as much in some of these cases has really, I think, hurt the ability for people to make choices. And I think you're going to find, and in the Ninth Hampton is a perfect example of this, that a lot of people are going to, you know, cloister around, you know, names they know, you know, neighborhood areas. Like, I expect Mullen to do very well in the Atwater Terrace area because that's where he's from, you know. I expect, you know, Ramos to do well where he already represents as a city councilor. So these things do happen anyway, but it's unfortunate that we don't have more than that.